Hi guys, it's Hayden here from the popular music band Big Reef and popular podcast, The Big Reef Podcast. You're listening to a free excerpt from our Patreon-only episode, which is for our paying subscribers. You can become a member and get full access to this entire thing over at www.patreon.com/Big Reef. Lots of other very sick stuff over there. You get our music before anyone else gets it, before it goes to streaming sites. You get demo and alternate versions of our music. And also you get free entry to certain shows. Speaking of which, we are launching our new EP. It's called Static Heat. It's out now. You can listen to it on streaming services anywhere. We're launching that on Thursday, the 23rd of May at Sideway Bar in Canberra. Get along to that. It is $10 entry. However, if you're a paying Patreon member, which is $8.50 a month, you get in for free. We're going to take down all the names and just let those people in. So please subscribe over there. Get into the gig for free. We'd love to see you down there. And if you do pay, come down and say hello to us. We'd love to meet you and we'd love to kiss your hands. Without further ado, we're going to get into a little bit of the Patreon only podcast. Thank you so much.
Live from New York City, it's a Big Reef podcast featuring Hayden.
Hi guys, it's me, Hayden Quinn. I'm so glad to be here and I'm so glad to have some fun with you tonight. And
I'm Morgan. I'm eating a big jar of Mavers super tasty crunchy peanut butter. 5-star health rating. Hayden, what do you think about these health star ratings that they're putting in grocery stores?
It's all a crock of shit, really. At the end of the day, you could give a 5-star. There are 5-star health ratings on some of the most heinous shit.
I don't think it's real. And there's a third person here who isn't going to give her opinion. She's going to stick her tongue out and scoot out of the room.
Despicable.
What a stressful day it's been.
I've had a week. I've had a week and a half within 7 days, Morgan. That's what it's been like for me. What about you? How many weeks have you had? That's sick.
I don't think I've had a bowel movement in 2 days.
Actually?
I think so.
That's not good.
I stopped drinking coffee.
Have you also stopped eating any kind of food?
No, that's why I'm trying to eat apples and peanut butter now. Natural remedy.
I don't know. Peanut butter loosen you up?
Probably not. But I
have some prunes.
But apple's got some fiber in it. But I find caffeine is a natural diuretic.
Are you hurting? Like, is your stomach cramping?
No.
Huh. No, what about now?
I just want to stop eating.
And now?
Now it's hurting. I
thought it might
That's better.
You're welcome. Welcome to the Big Reef Podcast. This is episode 5025, where the points mean nothing, but the episode numbers mean it all.
You know, recently I purchased a 16 terabyte hard drive because I got addicted to torrenting TV
I'm
shows.
I'm listening. Big Reef, I'm listening.
I'll only download 1080p rips of things a 265 encoder because it's a smaller file size than a 264 encoder with retains the same quality. I downloaded
Monty Python.
Seasons of Whose Monty Line Python. Is It Anyway?
Yeah, how deep into Whose Line did you get?
I don't watch these things. I just collect them. Anyway. And then I like to look through my Plex server and be like,
that it's there.
Yeah, it's there if I need it.
That's good.
Yeah, you know, just in case.
That's pretty sick.
Where the points don't matter.
The points don't matter. Who's a better host of Whose Line Is It Anyway? The old English man with a bald head, Drew Carey or Aisha Taylor?
Clive Anderson, I think, is his name. There's a really awkward interview between him and the Bee Gees. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
Everybody go and look up Clive Anderson interviews the Bee Gees.
Actually, this is ringing a bell now.
He just keeps like taking cracks at Barry Gibbs and like, you know, how they sing with high voices and stuff. He's like, yeah, and I bet all the dogs in the neighborhood would be come running.
That's a good bit.
Yeah, but he won't stop. He, like, asks a genuine question and then Barry will answer it and then he'll, like, he'll shiv him. He'll like stab after a sincere answer. He'll just stab him again with another one. And then eventually Barry's like, "That's very funny, Clive. In fact, that's so funny. I think I might just leave." And then he stands up and like takes his microphone off, and Clive looks around like, "Is this a bit?" And then the other two brothers being,
I have seen this. Yeah. It's a classic. It's a very, you know who ripped that off? And actually, I'm calling bullshit on. This is a total strap on. The CEO of Woolworths did the same thing.
What are you talking about?
You clearly haven't had your finger on the pulse. The CEO of Woolworths was interviewed on Four Corners probably like 2-3 months ago. And it was like, so a report came out and Woolworths is actually too much money in their pockets.
Okay.
And the CEO from Woolworths was like, in his horror, he's a South African, so he's got a South African accent. Like, well, the man who said that, actually, he no longer has that job. And then the interviewer was like, yeah, but that's because he retired like a month ago. Mm-hmm. And then the Woolworths man said, actually, we should stop the interview now.
Really?
That's really embarrassing.
Whoa.
Yeah. So he essentially did that. So that was a viral moment recently. But it sounds like that's exactly what the Gibb brothers did.
Yeah, no.
Or Barry Gibb did when being interviewed by Clive Palmer. Clive is the name that I took into my brain.
I don't want to say his name is Clive Anson, but I like Drew. I like Drew Carey better.
Mm.
His glasses are funny.
I've heard that he's a lovely man. I heard that, you know, he's incredibly rich because he hosted, I think he hosted Wheel of Fortune as well.
He did. He hosted, yep. And then there was like a follow-on from Whose Lines Anyway called like Drew Carey's Improvaganza or something.
Actually?
Some shit, yeah, some piece of shit. And he also had the Drew Carey Show.
Regardless, heard on a podcast a long time ago that Drew Carey is like incredibly rich as a result of hosting game shows.
Oh, yeah.
Game shows are apparently very lucrative. And he's just so nice to his friends. And he just, like, gets them all on his private jet and takes them out to Vegas for fun and pays for everything.
Yeah.
And apparently he's very kind to his pals.
Well, I imagine like that in primary school or elementary school, as they call it.
They do call it that.
He would be the kid with the rich parents that would invite all the kids. Like, nobody likes Drew Carey in primary school. But okay. He has rich parents who would take him to, like, laser tag for his birthday.
Right.
And he'd invite the whole class, and the whole class would be like, oh, yeah, sick, I'll go, I'll pretend to be your friend. And that's just gone on through his whole life. Is my understanding. That's what I read.
It reminds me of Billy Madison. Do you know what? Okay.
This Nudie is gonna, Magazine Day.
This is going to be a regular segment on our podcast. I'm going to bring up something a film that's funny, and we have to just straight away say the funniest part of it. Yep. Go, Morgan, Billy Madison. What's the funniest part of that movie?
Yeah, no, we didn't. But a guy I know and her got it on. Woo-wee!
That's the funniest part.
No, they didn't.
Driver.
Do you know what my funniest part is?
What's your funniest part?
Billy Madison's friend, who I don't know the name of, the bald guy, is just hosing down some kid.
You're all right. Yeah.
He's just laughing. And then the kid is sitting there, but the kid could easily get up and leave. He's what are you doing, mister? I don't know you. Leave me alone.
Stop it.
It's actually, so funny.
The funniest part is when Eric learns that... Billy Madison has progressed to the third grade, and he goes, no, and then he throws his mobile phone at his assistant, and she collapses, and he's like, Karen?
And then, like, the next scene directly starts with, first Eric's secretary is in a coma, now this.
Yeah. What do you call it? Like the cut to... What do you call it when it's just abruptly cuts?
Smash cut?
Yeah, smash cut to a TV and it's a dog just going, speak for yourself, moron. Billy's reaction is like, ah, ha, 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 oh my God, that is funny.
That movie is so funny.
It's wall to wall.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I've watched that so many times.
I don't think there's a better Sandler movie.
Funny. Yeah, there's some good parts in Happy Gilmore as well though. Yes.
Became too macho after that.
I tell you, I say that all the time. I think that all of the other movies he's made or have been in are not very interesting, but I probably haven't actually seen any of them.
Yeah,
that's a lie. I saw 50 First Dates. That was pretty crap. And The Wedding Singer's pretty crap, I guess, when you really think about it.
They're all very watchable movies, but
Apparently, Little Nicky is apparently fantastic. I can't imagine that being true. I can't imagine it. There's no golf or primary schools.
There's one really funny... Okay, so the funniest part in that movie is that it opens with John Lovitz being a peeping Tom. That's already very funny because...
That's a very John Lovitz thing to say.
Yeah, he's just saying gross things and be like, "Ooh, mama, look at those bazookas." And then he falls out of the tree and goes to hell. And then later on, like two scenes later, they're introducing like the devil and how he has a few sons that are going to, you know, take over Satan's reign when he dies. And there's a big glass window behind him. And I think that they're making two people commit like bestiality or something. And it's not sexual. I mean, it's not. You wouldn't think that this would be something that somebody would want to peep on, but John Lovitz is outside the window again in hell peeping. He's like, "Oh, wow, look at those bazookas."
I love John Lovitz so
He's
much.
Very funny.
He is too funny.
What's on the agenda here? I got so many things I wanted to talk about here. Remember poking people on Facebook?
Yes.
That's on my list.
I don't know how much... That's not got a lot of gas in the tank.
Oh, so... We put out a new EP a couple of days ago. Yeah. That's pretty good.
It's good for fun to put out an EP rather than a single song.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of, I don't know, like the current state of the music industry saying you just keep putting out singles and you treat Spotify and all of these things like some form of social media. And so far, that has made us... the richest men in Hollywood.
Well, it's made us household names.
Household names.
Everybody in my household knows my name now.
That's good. Yeah, we did an EP, three tracks.
Somebody messaged me the other day and said it's very, very good.
Oh, cool. That's nice.
My friend Jamie. And he said, "Is there a motif in Submerged, the first song, from Ratbag? Like a little melodic phrase."
That's interesting.
And I went through in my head and I was like, "What are you talking about there?" And the best thing I could come up with was the part that's like, "How did we get here? How long can we stay?" And it's like, "You've been a rat bag."
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's something. That's now in the Big Reef lore. We have motifs.
Motifs. I like this EP. I think it's a nice, I think when I was trying to figure out how to write a press release for it, I realized that all three of these songs are our least sarcastic, our least ironic, least, like, they're all very, like...
Sincere songs.
I think it's the first time we've been sincere in something we've put out. We could talk a little bit about that. This EP is interesting as well, I guess. I mean, like, you know, depends who you ask. Might be incredibly uninteresting to a lot of people. But it's interesting to me... In the these are three pieces of music that have kind of been sitting around for a long time on me and your hard drives for different projects and stuff, and they just never came to fruition, but we finished them.
Yeah, Submerged, I think we had back when we wrote the original five, as I like to call them.
The original five?
And it was just a 5-4 kind of... It was almost what it ended up being, but it didn't have vocals. But I think we intended it to sort of be... Well, I don't know. I don't know what we intended it to be, but we always wanted to do something with it.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
Part of
But that was kind of a holdover from Null, maybe, or it was going to be a solo track of yours.
It was when I was listening to a lot of Peter Gabriel a long time ago, back when I was in Melbourne, I wrote... the whole premise of that song, or the bed of that song, is just these old DX27 synth bells in 5-4, and they just start layering up on top of each other, and I think there's probably like six layers of very basic 5-4 synth riffs that kind of, as the song starts, they all start layering on top of each other. And the idea behind it and the reason that I did it was actually for an art installation at a music festival that was going... It got financed, but then I can't remember if the music festival didn't go ahead or this particular installation at the festival had to be pulled. But the idea was in 5.1 surround. And cool. So each of those bells would come through a different speaker in the installation, and, yeah. and then they'd start like swirling around those speakers and stuff. And that's where it originally yeah. was written for. And then I think I repurposed it for a collaborative set that I did with a band or an electronic group in Melbourne called Friendships. And then I unrepurposed it for that. And then, yeah, but it was just those bells.
Yeah. No,
I remember. It was always just called bells. And I always wanted to do something with it because I really liked it.
Yeah, me too. And then we just kept writing other music and we're always going to come back to it and make it one of our songs.
But that's when we first started talking about starting Big Reef, like you and I both brought like previous ideas to the table. And that was one of mine. I was like, and this was like 3 years ago. The actual, what I was talking about just then was probably like almost 8 years ago, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But this was one of those first things of like, hey, I have this thing. Can we flesh this out or can we turn this into something new?
Yeah.
And I think you had a few of similar, but yeah.
I like when you have a thing and it's almost completely
fleshed. I like when you have a thing
out.
Too, Morgan.
And then it's just like, okay, well, that's there. What can I contribute to it? And generally it's like, well, it doesn't have vocals on it. So I remember driving around and singing to it and coming up with different melodies and recording those on my phone, and that's often the way that we come up with those initial vocal ideas. I think whether it's in the studio while we're doing it, like one of us will be working on something and then the other one will be off in the corner imagining other melodies and things. But yeah, that one was fully fleshed out kind of, so I got to listen to it in the car and come up with it while driving around. And they're probably still on my phone. I should dig them up and upload them to the Patreon.
I remember them. Yeah. I remember hearing them.
They weren't bad ideas. But I think what we ended up coming up with at the end was much better than all of those because it was much more direct. And I guess because, I was familiar with the piece then and it had gestated and there was no more having to adapt to it. That then when the melodies came, it wasn't difficult to kind of make them fit over a 5/4 timing. Mm. I'm sure if people listen to it, they wouldn't even pick up that it's 5/4, like unless
I don't know.
Well, I mean,
I remember when we were tracking them, I was having a little bit of trouble hearing like where the syllables of what you were coming up with should land, but I think that was probably mainly because I'm incredibly intimate with the rhythms of all those, but you know,
yeah,
I sat in a room and fucking pushed them out of 5 different speakers for ages trying to figure so to hear like this slower, just any vocal in general, but to hear a slow sort of vocal try and sort of dance on top of what was previously just this very rigid kind of thing was a bit hard, but I fucking love what you came up with and how it sort of coalesces into the bed of bells.
Yeah, well, I think I had the sort of the nugget of the beginning of an idea for the vocals, but then we both, as we often do, got in together into the melody and said, no, it has to be this note now, it has to be this length, no, make it this, and make it much more specific. Like, it's easy to just come up with a general idea for a melody, but then to specifically, to make sure that it's not repeating itself too many times, but it's not straying too far away from the theme that it develops in the first phrase, but then continually gets more interesting as it goes along and explores more areas of the scale and things like that.
I think you absolutely nailed it. I think it's perfect, and it's the lyrics as well. I don't remember that well, but I'm pretty sure that like most of the lyrics for that opening piece you wrote then and there.
Yeah, it was like 5 minutes.
Perfect.
Yeah,
they're exactly right. And then like it's called Submerge.
Mm.
It's titled on Spotify Submerged because I made a mistake when I uploaded.
What did you call it?
Submerged.
Oh.
It should be Submerged. Hello, it's Hayden again from popular band Big Reef. What'd you think? Pretty good, huh? There's plenty more where that came from. If you want to hear the rest of the podcast, please sign up to our Patreon. Go hard or go home.